Welcome to the Good Hope Through Grace Bible Study Time. I am Pastor Jeff Arthur of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Tonight's Bible study comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be studying verses 25 through verse 27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, or she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. This is the fifth I am statement of Christ in our current series. Jesus said here that I am the resurrection and the life. Now, what does this mean when Jesus says that he is, that I am the resurrection? Well, I'm going to give you about three reasons why he calls himself the resurrection. The first reason is because Jesus is the author of the resurrection. He's the author of the resurrection doctrine. You know, the foundational doctrine of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's one of the things that separates Christianity from all other worldly religions. There's many worldly religions that can point to you where the burial plot is or the burial tomb is of their founder. Christianity cannot do that. They can point to an empty tomb. They can tell you where their founder was, but our founder resurrected. The Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. He died on the cross, and then he resurrected again the third day. Well, he is the author of the resurrection. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in talking about our Savior, the Lord Jesus, it says he is the first fruits of them which slept. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, Jesus calls himself the first fruits here. There were people who resurrected before Jesus. Of course, if you look at Jesus' ministry, the Bible records of three people that he resurrected from the dead, the widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, and of course here in John chapter 11, which was where our text is from today, he resurrected Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. He resurrected him from the dead. So Jesus wasn't the first to ever resurrect. But when he says that he's the first fruits, it means that he was the first to resurrect, never to die again. All those that were resurrected before Jesus, you know, you can study in the Old Testament where there's people that were resurrected. Elijah resurrected one from the dead through the power of the Lord. But they all died again. They did resurrect, but indeed they did die again. But Jesus, the great I am the resurrection, he resurrected never to die again. Now, because Jesus resurrected, one day all of his people that have died in this life that knew him as personally, that knew him personally as their Lord and Savior, that were saved, that have been believers in him, because he resurrected, one day they will too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read verse 20 earlier, but in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and we understand that now, he was the first to resurrect, never to die again. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Well, because Jesus was the first, they're now at his coming, at his second coming, those that have known Christ while they lived, they will be resurrected also. That's why he's called the resurrection, because he is the one, he's the first fruits. He's the first to resurrect, never to die again. And now because he did, one day those that are Christ. Now, what does it mean, they that are Christ? Well, it's those that know him, those that have trusted in him, those that have believed on him. You belong to Christ. The Bible says that we that know Christ have been redeemed. That means he's bought you. He set you free from the bondage of your sin debt. And now you belong to him. You're Christ. And here it says, they that are Christ will also be resurrected at his coming. Now, well, what about the people? Where are the dead now? Does their body sleep in the grave until the resurrection day comes? Well, I guess I'm going to use an. Well, I know I'm going to use an illustration for you, and just want you to think about it just a little bit. Certainly, Jesus did die on the cross, and will you remember one of the statements he made? Or actually, I'll draw your attention to two statements he made right before or while he was on the cross. One statement was when he was talking to the thief, he said, "Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, that day that Jesus died, certainly his body was indeed placed in the tomb that evening. But what about his spirit? His spirit left his body. That's what happens whenever someone dies. Your spirit leaves your body. And where did Jesus' spirit go? According to his own words in the book of Luke chapter 23, it tells us, "Today, Shalt thou be with me in paradise." So Jesus went to paradise that day. And the word paradise is just really another word. Haven't got time to go into it, but paradise is another word for heaven. So Jesus went to heaven the day that he died. His spirit went to heaven, but indeed his body was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb that day. So where did the dead go? Where did his spirit? His spirit went to his Father. And another statement that Jesus made from the cross was, "Father," right before he died, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." Well, his spirit left his body, and he commended his spirit to the Father. And that day his spirit departed to be with Christ, yet his body went to the tomb. So the master continued to exist. The master continued to live. It's just that he was in paradise. He was with the Father. He went to the Father's house. Okay? Now, also that day, and we've mentioned this in the past, I'll mention to it again, in speaking to the thief, you know, there was a thief that was on each side of Jesus, but one of those men were saved that day. Jesus told him, "Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, that day the thief died too. Well, what happened to his spirit? Well, when his spirit left, it departed to be with Christ. And you know, that's what the New Testament does indeed teach. Whenever a child of God dies, one that's in Christ, one that's trusts Christ, whenever they pass, their spirit goes to be with him immediately. Absent from the body is to be present, is to be present with the Lord. So that's where the dead are, the dead that knows Christ, the ones that belong to Jesus, that's where they go. Their spirit goes to be with Christ, but their body goes to the grave or goes to the tomb or wherever. So you need to understand that. Now, at the resurrection day, then at his coming, which is when the resurrection is called the resurrection of the just, it's called the resurrection to life. When Jesus Christ comes again and the trump of God will sound, and in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." What will rise? Their bodies will. Their spirit is with the Lord now. The thief on the cross spirit is with the Lord tonight. But his body, if certainly that's happened 2,000 years ago, his body's dust. But from the spot where his dust and remains is at, from that spot will come out a new body, a body that will be without a sin nature, a body that the 1 Corinthians 15 says will be incorruptible. It'll never get sick. It will not age, and it will never die. It will be an immortal body. And that will be the body that they receive, and all the saved will receive the day that Jesus comes again. So, as I said, the thief's spirit is with the Lord today. Of course, we shouldn't call him a thief anymore because Jesus washed his sins completely away. He's with the Lord today, but his body has went back to the dust. At the second coming, there will be a resurrection that takes place. It's called the resurrection of the just. And then there will come a body forth and be reunited with the spirit. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us about that. Now I've explained it just a little bit. Maybe reading of the text now will make a little bit more sense. It says, for the Lord himself, this is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And we're waiting on that day to come. It could happen tonight. I pray that you're ready for that. He's coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where's their spirits at? They're with the Lord, if they knew him. Of course, it's talking about the saved in this text. They're with the Lord. Where's their bodies at? Well, they went back to the dust. From that point, from where they're buried at, those tombs will be open, those graves will be open, and out will come a new body. Oh, my friend, it is so comforting to know that this indeed does take place. Of course, I've been pastoring for 24 years, and in that amount of time, I've done a lot of funerals over the years. I've lost track of exactly how many that I've done. But it's so comforting to know that whenever you do the funeral of someone that has trusted Jesus as her Savior, when you do the funeral of someone that was indeed a child of God, it's so comforting to be able to look at their family and to say from the Scriptures that they are with Christ. It is so comforting to be able to say that, to say that they are in a much better place, that they have departed to be with him. It's so comforting to be able to say that to the family. And I've found that the greatest thing someone can leave behind to their family is the knowledge that they have indeed trusted Jesus as their Savior. If you're listening to me, does your family know that you're saved? Do they know that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do your children know? Does your parents know? Does your aunt and your uncles know? Does your family know? And I think it's important because what carries them on the day of your death, what carries them and gives them comfort and gives them strength is the fact that you're with Christ, or is the knowledge that you're with Christ and that you're in a much better place. It's comforting to know that. Also, it's comforting to be able to stand at a graveside. One of the hardest parts is when you take a loved one's body and you place it and you bury it down in the ground. That can be such a sad time. But my friend, when you can look at the family and say, hey, the spirit that gave this body of life departed and is now with Christ. They don't live in this body anymore. But we're planting their body here this day into the ground. And one day from this spot is going to come forth a new body. A body that'll never die, a body that'll never age, a body that'll never get sick. And my friend, it'll be a body like Christ. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, a glorious text of Scripture is used. And you listen to this verse of Scripture as I read it to you. 1 John chapter 3, it says, verse 1 and 2, Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Now listen real close. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Folks, I'm not waiting to see whether I'm going to become a child of God or not. I'm his child right now. The book of Galatians says that by faith we are children of God. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What it says. And here it says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, talking again about the second coming, we shall be like him. Now you think about that just for a moment. When we see Jesus, At that when we see him, we will be like him. Glorious thing to think of me. I'm saved and I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I still live in an old flesh body. And this old flesh body still has inclinations to sin. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm speaking of. If you're saved out there and you're listening to me, you realize that you're living a flesh body, but there's going to be a day that you're going to get a new body, and it's not going to have no sin nature in it, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be like Christ, and we'll be presented to the Father holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, as the book of Colossians says. So we have this great hope of this future resurrection because of the I am the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author of this great resurrection doctrine and of that great resurrection day. And we would not have that to look forward to if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits of them that sleep. The second reason that Jesus is the resurrection is because he had power to raise the dead even then. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, if you study the context of it, he had a friend by the name of Lazarus who had two sisters, Mary and Martha, who had sent for Jesus to come because he was sick and he had died. Now, by the time that Jesus had gotten there, he had already died and had been in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha met Jesus when he finally got there, and she was heartbroken because her brother had died. And, of course, her sister Mary didn't come out to meet Jesus in the beginning, but Martha did. Both of them were grieving greatly over the passing of their brother. And Jesus went on to tell Martha here in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection. Of course, Martha assumed he was speaking of the great resurrection day, which he does speak of in the context later on. But he does tell her, I am the resurrection. Meaning for her, he had the power to resurrect even then. And certainly he displayed that great power to Martha that very day and to Mary that very day. Jesus, as you read the Gospel of John chapter 11, he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he had been dead for 4 days, as I've already told you. Now I'd like to read from the text of Scripture. John 11, verse 43, this was at the mouth of the tomb where Lazarus was buried at, and when he had thus had spoken, he made a prayer. It says, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. He showed even then he had power over death, able to take one that had been dead for 4 days and bring them back to life again. Indeed, a tremendous illustration of what Jesus is going to do on a worldwide scale at his second coming. There will come a day, you know, the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, as we read it earlier, stated that Jesus will come with a shout and with a trumpet. And when that shout, I don't know exactly what he's going to shout. Here he said, Lazarus. He shouted, Lazarus, come forth. But my friend, when he comes again, he's probably just going to shout, come forth. And all the graves where the bodies of his children are laid to rest from those spots are going to come forth new resurrected bodies. And the resurrection of Lazarus is just a picture of it. Now, certainly, Lazarus did indeed die again. It's just an illustration of how he has power even over death. Thirdly, there's another resurrection that we need to speak of. We've talked about our future resurrection. We'll talk about that just a little bit more here a little bit later. We showed how he had power at that time to resurrect, power over the grave, and that he resurrected Lazarus after he'd been in the grave for 4 days. But folks, there's also a spiritual resurrection that takes place every time somebody is saved. Now, I didn't say a physical resurrection, but I did say a spiritual resurrection. Every time someone is saved, there is a spiritual resurrection that happens. And a lot of people don't know about this, but the book of Ephesians chapter 2 makes it clear to us in talking about our condition spiritually before we were saved. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Before I was saved, I was dead in my sins. There was no spiritual life there. When you know a dead person can't respond to people calling to them because there's no life there. Well, that's the way someone that is dead spiritually. They will never respond. Sometimes you'll wonder how people can come to church and sit under a real powerful salvation message and not respond to it. Well, I can answer that for you because they're dead. And they will not respond until they are made alive. And the Lord's the one that does that. Now notice in Ephesians 2, we read verse 1, which stated we were dead. But in verse 5 it says, "Even when we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ." The word quickened means he made you alive. That's a spiritual resurrection. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." The passing from death to life is a description of salvation. You were dead, and now you have life. And it's a spiritual resurrection. And Jesus is the author of that too. We would have no salvation. That's the reason why it calls himself not only the resurrection, but he's also called the life. He's the one that gives you life. He's the one that brings about that life in you. And that's the reason why the book of 1 John chapter 5 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." My friend, if you're listening to me, in order to have this glorious future of a resurrection at the second coming of Jesus Christ, in order to have that great expectation of seeing Christ the moment that you pass, in order to have these great hopes that belongs to God's people, you must trust Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Back in John chapter 11, let's go ahead and work our way through the rest of the text as far as we can get in this broadcast anyway. John chapter 11 again. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That's what I just got through telling you. You got to believe in him. And my friend, that means more than just believe he existed. That means to trust in him, to put your confidence in him, to put your sole hope of heaven in that crucified, risen Savior who shed his blood for your sins. You have to trust in him. My friend, as you look in the text, he asked Martha, did she believe these things? Let me read that for you real quick. Jesus said, "Believest thou this?" in verse 26. And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Martha was a believer. She had trusted in Jesus. There's a lot of people that met Jesus and knew about Jesus, but never trusted him. As you're listening to me, have you trusted him? The name of this broadcast is Good Hope Through Grace. The idea of the word hope is confident expectation. I have great hope. I got a great hope tonight of going to heaven. I got a great expectation of going to heaven. That's the idea of the word hope in Scripture. It means something different than the way that we use it today. I have great expectations. I expect one day to see Jesus Christ. I expect one day to go to heaven, either by death or by rapture. And I expect one day to be in the Father's house. Do you have this great hope? My friend, if you don't know Christ, you don't. And you need this more than anything else in this world. I am the resurrection He that believeth in me, though he were dead, though he dies, though he may die physically, yet shall he live. One day his body will live again. And that will take place at his coming. He goes on to say, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Now we're talking about when we read there in the latter part of verse 20, in verse 25 or verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. When Jesus comes again, we talked about how the dead will be raised. The dead, the saved dead, those that had trusted Christ while they was living, they shall be raised. It's called the first resurrection. But when Jesus comes again, there will also be people that will be living. If Jesus would come before this broadcast is over, then there'll be a lot of God's people that shall never die. And that's the meaning of this text. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. He was talking about the resurrection in verse 25, the future resurrection. And now he says on that day, the day that that resurrection takes place, whosoever liveth when Jesus comes again and hath believed on him, they're not going to die. Now, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll go back to that text and it'll help us understand that just a little bit better to clear it up for us, and then we'll start to close out the broadcast for tonight. It says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ rise first. That's the first thing that happens. Their bodies come out of the grave and they'll be reunited with their spirits in the clouds of heaven. Then we which are alive, that's them that liveth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That's where we get the word rapture from. The catching up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now that's the meaning of they which are alive and remain. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. My friend, we just might not die. Jesus may come. And when he does, we're never going to experience physical death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. As we go up, we'll get a new body. Body not like this one. Body that never ages, and a body that will never die, and a body like Christ. And we'll be reunited in the clouds of heaven with our loved ones. All those that know Christ, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Elijah, and all of our loved ones, that will be indeed that great reunion day. And my friend, that's what I look forward to. I don't know what my life may hold here on this earth in my future, but I know my long-range plans is that I'm going to see God. Job said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God. And I pray that you have this good hope through grace. Listen in again next week for our next I Am statement of Christ. This has been Pastor Jeff Arthur of the Elizabeth Baptist Church. Thanks for listening.